based on people downloading, searching, looking for answers. And that is why we are covering these seven specific psalms. If you look at Psalm 119, you will notice that there are 176 verses. This may be a little long today. We're going to do expositional teaching, verse by verse. There's 11:02. You know, four. Good thing there's no football. Now, this won't take long. We're going to break this down for you and help you to be able to understand what this psalm is all about. What is the reason behind this psalm? And it is very important. The format of Psalm 119 is different than any other psalm that is written. It is an alphabetic acrostic. If you will notice at the beginning of each section, it is the first Hebrew letter. And each of those Hebrew letters have eight lines under them. So when you multiply the 22 letters by the eight lines, you get 176 verses. This psalm, we don't know exactly who wrote it. It could have been one of three people, believe it or not. It could have even been Daniel, many theologians believe. The rule of thumb, though, is any psalm that is not indicated or marked is probably the Psalm of David. And so as we look at these, you will find some of the same things written in this psalm that you've heard David speak in psalms past. Many times as he was in a place of struggle or a place of persecution or he was being slandered, you find this psalm being very similar in regards to that. I am giving you a little bit of homework this week if you would like to dive in deeper to this psalm. If you'll turn your sheet over, you're going to find three homework opportunities. And these homework opportunities are broken down based on trying to find, for example, the very first section, the plots, slanders, or taunts. There are four verses where those are mentioned, those specific things. There are six verses that mention persecution. There are four verses that mention afflictions. So see if you can find all of those in the psalm. What that means is this: you're going to have to read it a lot. As a matter of fact, the next section is a little bit easier. You see, there are eight different terms referring to the Word of God in this psalm. And those terms are listed below, 1 through 8. So the goal is to find the verse that uses that term to reference the Word of God. For example, where is the Word of God referred to as judgments in Psalm 119? The next section is a little bit more difficult. In Psalm 119, you will find characters of the scripture that give you characters of God himself. So you can go through, and as you can see, the first one of righteousness, there are, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, how many did I put on your list? 10? There are 10 verses that speak to God's righteousness, one of his attributes. I had to count because I have the answers up here. And I will sell this to you for the right price. It'll make you very, very smart with your friends. Let's begin, though, as we look at Psalm, because there are three important things in the Psalm 119 that God wants you to understand. These things that you find in Psalms, many of them prophetic, and many of them are very life applicable, because David was just doing life. And as he experienced life and as he experienced God, he was just honest and he said, this is me and this is where I'm at. And man, I'm a loser most of the time. But I get back up and I put that stuff behind me and I use it as a testimony for God in the future. I don't let it weigh me down. But there are times you read through the Psalms, and this is very confusing, where David speaks to the fact that don't take your spirit from me. You see, in the Old Testament, I was speaking with somebody yesterday and we talked about this. It's very different than the New Testament. When you accept Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God enters into who you are, and the Bible says he resides in you. He's that little voice that's always going, what in the world do you think you're doing? You know that voice? And sometimes we listen to it and sometimes we don't. totally different in the Old Testament. God actually could and would remove his spirit from individuals who chose not to live according to it, even though they knew God. That's a little bit riskier, isn't it? And you see David praying many times, do not remove your spirit from me. I can't do this without your spirit. I have to have you close. A good example of this is Adam in the Garden of Eden, right? When he sinned, there was this separation between him and God. When before that, when he was in tune with who God was and he walked with God in the garden, God was all over who he was. And it was just kind of like smooth as silk. I mean, think about naming all the animals, right? That's quite a job, isn't it? All the insects, the bugs, the plants, whatever. You know, just to do that job, you had to have something together in your life, right? With the creator of the universe, because you're actually naming his stuff. God wants you to recognize that in Psalm 119, if you want to live fully in the Spirit, there are specific things you have to do. There are three of them. Here's number one. You have to recognize that life happens. Sometimes life is good, isn't it? And then sometimes life is difficult. Sometimes we bring life upon us. Sometimes God allows life to happen to us. It's interesting, as you read this, it almost is foreign to our thought. But Psalm 119, 75 through 77 says this, I know, Lord, that your laws are righteous, and that of faithfulness you have afflicted me. Did you get that? Look at that one more time. And that in faithfulness you have inflicted me. You know, the one thing about God is God will not bring down wrath upon who you are in your life or for your life or because of your life. But you know what he will do is he will allow wrath to enter in if you need it. He will allow you to be chastened. He will allow you to be instructed, to be directed. And the thing about God in my life and your life is this. God is always aware of what is happening in me. Nothing takes him by surprise. Whether I bring it on myself, or whether he allows it to enter into my life, or whether Satan is and his demons coming at me, whatever it is, guess what? God knows it's going to happen. That's why with everything in our life, we should look at it as opportunity for victory, because you can overcome anything. That doesn't mean that some of these things in your life will be completely removed, but God says this to you in those cases, my grace is sufficient for you. You can get through this. You can do this. Through me and my power, you can be an overcomer. If you are not able to be an overcomer in your body, that's okay. You can be an overcomer in your mind. And you can be an overcomer in your spirit. But I am aware of what is happening to you in your life, and life happens. The next verse says this, may your unfailing love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant. Let your compassion come to me, that I may live, for your law is my delight. And in your law, David said in another psalm, I meditate day and night. You see, when we know the Word of God and when we live in the Word of God and we breathe the Word of God, then what we're able to do is we're actually able to pull out the Word of God when we need in our life and apply it to where we are. And sometimes it is the fact that God has enabled you to overcome. It is sometimes the fact that God has empowered you to die to yourself, to die daily, to take up your cross and follow him. Sometimes it's the sheer fact that he just says, I'm going to give you grace for that. You're going to be able to handle it. Don't worry about it. This isn't about you. This is about me. This is about the kingdom, and I'm going to use that thing in your life. I may choose to remove it. I may choose to leave it. but it is about the kingdom. So what are you going to do with what you know about me? You see, life happens in who we are. And David looked at God and he recognized who God is. And he recognized that God is the just judge. There's another message in this psalm, and it has to do with our lifestyle and the aspect of obedience. So number two is this: be obedient. In this life of ups and downs, the only thing we are responsible for with God is obedience. That's it. And there are going to be struggles and difficulties, whether it's in your family or it's in your job or it's in your own spirit. You are going to have tough times. It could be in your children. It could be in your parents. God looks at us and he says, life is going to happen to you, but what I'm going to ask of you is just be obedient to me. For us to be obedient, we have to be listening, right? We have to be in tune with who God is, and we have to be surrendering to who he is and not putting ourselves first. The first few verses of Psalm 119, verse 1 says this: blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. Wow, what a difficult thing, huh? Anybody here do no wrong? No, I mean, that's our goal, right, in Christ, is to live a life that he desires us to live, because when we do, we're that much closer to him. So then when he wants to speak to us, we are close enough to hear. And then when we do hear what he says, we know what he wants us to do. And so then we interject who we are and our giftings and our personality and our spirit, everything that God has put in us, into the kingdom. And if it's done that way, guess what? It has an incredible impact on people. And there are people that you will be able to minister to, and they look at you and go, you know what? What you said or what you did or how you lived that moment, man, I learned from that. That helped me. That encouraged me. That lifted me up. But for that to happen, we have to be obedient. And the obedience is the understanding and the following of this right here. This is it. You ever wondered why they call it the good book? Because it teaches you how to be good. It teaches you how to be good. It teaches you how to do good. It teaches you how to live good. It teaches you how to think good. And when you know this, then you're able to apply the good to your life. And that leads us to our third point today, and the fact that God's word is sufficient. Look at verse number 4 as we kind of wonder, how do we become blameless? How do we walk according to his word and we delight in it? We kind of breathe it in and out. How do we always, or at least as much as we possibly can, do the right thing? Verse 4, you have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in observing your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. You know what the law does? And this is why when Christ came, he did away with the law, but it really didn't do away with what the law was for. But the law was in the life of those in Israel so that when they compared this truth to their life, then they could see if they were where they needed to be. If they weren't, then this truth would cause them shame. And really what it would do, without even pointing, it would point at them and say, you are to blame for what's happening in your life, because this is what the law says. Well, Jesus came and Romans was written, and the law was done away with, but you know what? That didn't do away with the holiness of God. All that did away with was the way that we are designed to live out the truths of the Word of God. You see, God took all 10 commandments and he put them into 2 commandments. He put them into the commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbors yourself. If you take those 2 commandments, you can shove all 10 commandments under one of those 2. Sometimes you can put it under 2 of those 2. And so the Holy Spirit enters into who we are, and he's there constantly remind us that you've only got to do 2 things in your life. love God with all that you are, as the psalmist says here, with all of his heart. And then number two, love other people with all the love that God is in you. We find that he continues on as we look at the sufficiency of the word of God. It says, then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. Verse 7, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. There's that phrase again, just said a totally different way. Don't leave me. God, don't leave me. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. You know what's so amazing about Jesus is he actually took that phrase out of the Christian's vocabulary. Really what it is now, as Jesus says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When I'm gone, I'm going to send somebody to you. He's the comforter. He's the person that's going to be there in your life, that's the part of God that will always, always, always be with you and never leave you. And if you feel like he's left you, it's not because he's left you, it's because you have moved away from him. You've placed something between you and him. There's this wall there now, this thing that keeps you from hearing my voice. He goes on and he says this. It says in verse number 8, do not forsake me. How can a young person, this is a good for all you young and old here, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? Here's the question. How can you and I, doesn't matter whether you're 15 or whether you're 55, how do we stay on the path of doing right? That's the question, right? Because I know life's going to happen to me and it's going to be difficult. I understand that God's called me to be obedient, but how do I actually live this life and make right choices? How do I do the right thing? And here's the answer. By living according to your word. Man, isn't that boring? That sounds like there's no fun in that. I mean, no mischievous there. I mean, there's no picking on people. There's no secret stuff. There's no hiding. There's no debauchery. Right? I mean, all those really fun-sounding words. I mean, there's a list of them in the New Testament, right? And here's what God says to you. If you want to be everything you've been designed to be in life, because life will happen to you, and sometimes you bring it on yourself, sometimes I allow it to happen, sometimes Satan is attacking you, sometimes it just is what it is. Just be obedient and know my word. Because if you know my word, you will have the answers. You will know what you are supposed to do. It might not come in like a rushing wind. You may have to sit back for a little while and just in silence or in peace listen. But I will tell you what I want you to do. He goes on and he says here, not only by living according to your word, but I seek you with all of my heart. You know, we are so inclined to take something to God, and if we don't get an answer, like right then you know what we do? We kind of just blow it off many times. We don't pursue the truth of what God wants and has for me in that thing or in that moment. And we kind of just continue to do our life filled with distractions. And then before long, what takes place is we find ourselves not even thinking about the thing that was important to us and probably should still be, because we've just kind of moved on. But God says you need to seek me with all of your heart. Do not let me stray from your commands, he says. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've hidden my word in my heart, your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You see, you don't always have a copy of this. I mean, in America, we are blessed to be able to pretty much pick this up anytime, anywhere. I mean, if you had to and you were in like a really big bind and your phone was broken, you know what I mean? Because you can get this on your phone, right? Say your phone's broken. You're driving down the road and you need an answer. Man, you know what? You can pretty much pull into any motel or hotel and say, hey, I just want to know something. You have a Bible around here? Oh, yeah. We got a bunch of extra ones. Matter of fact, right here in the reception area, the Gideons bring them by. You see, the answers, though, aren't here. And God looks at us and he says, as much as you can, hide this word in your heart that you might not sin against me. It's memorization. It takes work. You know what I know that I know? The older you get, the harder it is to memorize. Anybody here with me on that one? It is difficult. The younger you are, it's just the way your brain is and where you're at, it's just so much easier to memorize. So some of you are really in trouble. Because now you have to figure out, how are you going to actually do what this says and memorize it? I have a friend here in the church, and what he does is he takes 3x5 cards and he writes down the verse. Whatever God is giving him at the time, whatever verse he sees that he goes, you know what, I could probably use that one in my life. And he writes it down in his own handwriting. It isn't type it out. Boy, that is an old word, isn't it? Typewriter. He doesn't typewrite it out. He doesn't print it off his computer. What he does is he handwrites it, and then he puts it in his pocket. And he always has right here about 7 or 8 verses that he is memorizing all the time. You know what he does? When he has just a little bit of free time, he pulls that out, and he just reads through it, and then he'll just set it aside, and he'll try to repeat it without picking it up. Then he'll look at it again, and then he'll put it back in his pocket, and he'll go through his day. Well, that's a pretty boring life, isn't it? I mean, you could be watching TV. SpongeBob is on. There's so much more stuff you can do. Here's what God did say to you. If you want to be successful in your life, you have got to know this. You can watch every episode of SpongeBob, and it will make a difference in your eternity. But this will, and it will make a difference in other people's eternity as well. But you have to work at it. You have to come up with a plan in order to memorize. Another thing you can do is take those same verses and you can just stick them on your mirror in the bathroom. We all spend time in front of the mirror, right? You can put them over the sink. So when you are doing dishes, men, you can just see it, right? You have to know the Word of God. We live in a country where we have access to it, but you've got to know it, because what Satan's going to do is he's going to tempt you in a moment where you don't have this very handy. And you've got to be able, like Jesus did in the temptations in the desert, speak the Word of God. And when you do, he has no choice but to flee from you. You know what? If you get in a bind and your older brain can't remember some of the things that you thought you had memorized, the Word of God, just say Jesus. Just say Jesus. Say it 10 times, Jesus. Stop and think about Jesus and say Jesus. And say, Satan, you know Jesus? You want to hang around and talk about him a little bit? You ever heard a story? What he did for me on the cross? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We had a huge, insurmountable challenge a couple years back. I don't even know why I did it. But we were meeting on, I think it was a Wednesday night. Am I right, Cherie?
Well, actually, I think it started as the early morning thing.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. Yeah, we started an early morning thing, 9 a.m. No, just kidding, it was earlier than that. And we began to meet and just came together for prayer, but we actually centered around the Word of God. And a challenge in the process of that came up as we were looking at the life of Hudson Taylor. What is a great name? Hudson's a great name, by the way, Hudson's. Powerful name, first name. If you haven't read about Hudson Taylor, you need to read his story. Changed the world. So it began. We began to talk about that, and then we came up with this challenge that, you know what, let's work on trying to memorize Psalm 119. That was so stupid. What I should have probably said is, let's try to memorize Psalm 119:1. We'll just kind of start there, and we will work our way to verse 2. But we just kind of threw it out there, and we did it for a while. I mean, we got to where we were coming. It was a small group. How many, Cherie? Well, it dwindled quickly with the whole 176 verses being part of the test. And as we began to do it, this very small group began to memorize, and I know some of these verses in Psalm 119 just because I memorized them as a child, but many of them I didn't know, and so we worked 1 to 10, then 1 to 11, 1 to 12, and pretty much it fell apart. I think we stopped doing it. Like we did, we stopped doing the whole time. I mean, and I don't know if it was because we set our goal too high or something, but it was pretty difficult. And we had an individual in our group that actually memorized the entire psalm. Cherie did. Cherie, I want you to come up here just for a second. I'm going to grab a microphone. And all I'm doing this for is to prove to you that you can do this. She can't. I'm going to turn this one right on, right here. Check, check, check. You got me here?
Hello. Okay.
I'm going to give this to Cherie. She can't quote the whole thing, but if you gave her like about a couple of hours where she can kind of brush up, I guarantee it'd come back, wouldn't it? How did you do this? How did you memorize all of this?
What I did is that I really wasn't able to come to the original meeting because it was at 6 o'clock and I worked. So what I was doing, though, I was getting up in the morning and doing the treadmill. And I had Psalm 119 in front of me on the treadmill, and I would memorize it. I actually memorized it frontwards and backwards both, from 176 back to 1, and it took me a little over a year, but I did accomplish that.
What are your that's incredible. Front ways and back ways. Yeah. You know, I can spell dad both ways. Did you know that? Both ways. What are some of your favorite verses?
Oh, Lord. Well, just the very first one that you put up here meant a lot to me because when my grandson, who is 3 and a half now, was being born, and he was born on time and everything, but ended up in the NICU because he wasn't breathing appropriately, the psalm where I was at, memorizing Psalm 119 at that time was where it was saying, Psalm 75, the verse is, I know the Lord, that your laws are righteous, and that in your faithfulness you have afflicted me. You have no idea to, you know, have a phone call saying that everything's fine, the baby's fine, and then 4 hours later they're putting him in NICU because he can't breathe. And I just, it overwhelmed me because that was where I was at in the memorization of this psalm, mm-hmm. and that his faithfulness allows me to walk through the affliction of possibly having my grandson die, but it gave me so much strength. And I quoted this scripture on the way driving from here to South Dakota with my mom in the car because I know God's word never returns void. And that even though she may not be believing or feeling what I'm feeling with that circumstance, that his word does not return void, and that it brought strength to my spirit saying those scriptures out loud every single day. It was my strength totally.
You know, I don't know if many of you have prayed with Cherie or had the opportunity, and I have over the last couple of years since you actually have memorized this. And what I've noticed a lot that happens in Cherie's prayer is these scriptures come out. And as she's praying, God will just remind her, remember this verse in Psalm 119? and she'll pray the word of God. You want to know how to get the answers of who God is for your life? Know the word of God and pray the word of God. And he will speak to you. If you had to pick one verse out of all of Psalm 119, I know you There's a lot of them there. What do you think is outside of that one is probably most?
If you can, let me. It was. I want to say it's verse 50. Let me get there real quick. It was saying here where it goes. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. It's verse 37. Preserve my life according to your word.
Mm.
Because our world is so full of worthless things that abide and try to get our attention. And all it is a distraction from keeping us focused on what really matters. And that is the love of God flowing through us and enabling us to touch the people we have contact with each and every day, even if it's somebody at the gas station pump, because there's been many times I will look at somebody's face as I'm filling up gas, and I will start saying scriptures and speaking scriptures for that person. Because Isaiah 55:11, so shall the word go forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So when that word is spoken, God is actively putting it into motion, regardless of you seeing it or hearing it at that moment. It is in motion as soon as you speak it.
That's good. Thank you, Cherie. That's kind of interesting. She read that verse. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Your word. Watch this.
Distractions in this world.
Did you just see what happened? Did you miss this? We'll stop. So I'm up at a little after 5-ish today studying. That's when I study. Psalm 119. I knew there's a lot of verses, but I wasn't too worried about it. And then after I got done studying, I said, God, you know, I want to share in some way just a song so that they get what this really is all about, because it's about your word. I didn't even know that song, that verse was in Psalm 119, verse 37. I had never talked to Cherie about what I was going to teach today. I knew at some point God might have me bring Cherie up to share about what God did in her life through Psalm 119. And she comes up, and what does she do? She says her favorite verse. Here it is. Verse 37, uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always. Am I in the right verse here? Nope, go back. Here it is, going back one more page here. Turn my eyes away from worthless things, the distractions. Preserve my life according to your word. You know what? That probably should be the first verse we all learn right there. Psalm 119:37. Because God showed up today, and what I said, he used someone else to say it without even us talking about it. That the world is worthless and it is a distraction. But it's through your word, the word of God, that I am delivered. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and may we not miss the little things that are enormous. May we recognize that you have called us to incredible things, and you want us to be able to see you moving and working. You want us to be able to point to you and say, did you just see that? That is crazy. And only God does crazy like God. So may we seek you and your word. May we know it. May we memorize it. May we use it as a light unto our path. May we recognize that you are always with us, and that in your word there is power. Thank you for what you've given us as we're able to see you in your word. And as we see you more, may we believe just that much more. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.